Okay. Again, this week is Bahar here in LA. It's Bechukotai in Israel, and we're going to take a look at Bechukotai. And Bechukotai itself is a parasha which is made up of two unequal halves. The first half, which is about 3/5 of the parasha, is the blessing and curse which form the end of the Brit of Sinai, meaning every Brit has in it the conditions, the obligations, etc., and concludes with the consequences for compliance and for non-compliance. And that's what we have here, Bechukotai. At the end, we've talked about this about a number of years ago, there is one chapter added in, which is about different rules relating chiefly to Hekdesh. But I want to focus on the Bracha and Tochacha. And the Bracha and Tochacha themselves are fascinating as a study. And of course, the common custom that we have of having the Tochacha, which is longer than any other part of Bechukotai, all be read in one aliyah with a few psukim earlier so that we don't make a Bracha on Puranut, is itself a lot to study. The Tochacha, just briefly, and I mentioned this a little bit last week, the Tochacha is mainly focused on not general violations, but violations having to do with the sanctity of the land, and seemingly the point is Shemitah. That also shows up in Yirmiyahu. And the Tochacha is filled with the number 7, which seems to bring us back again, like we said last week, to Bahar and the sevens, Shemitah and Yovel, etc. And it's like, if you do not listen to me, I'm going to nail you 7 times over. And there's a lot of sevens in there. But I'd like to put a little bit of a smile on our face today and take a look at the Bracha. And the Bracha, which you have in front of you in Source 1, as you can see, is all of 11 psukim. Im b'chukotai telechu, etc. Now, I'm going to read it through once and translate it as we go along, because we're going to find several anomalies here, both in inclusion and in sequence. Im b'chukotai telechu, and you notice that I've highlighted the word telechu, and it's the word halach, as it shows up 3 times in this bracha. I'll immediately address, as soon as we finish, I'll immediately address the reason why I highlighted it, but it's a strange phrase. Im b'chukotai telechu v'mitzvotai tishmeru v'asitem otam, writ large, if you follow the commandments I've given you. V'natati gishmechem b'itam v'natna ha'aretz yivula v'etz ha'sadeh yitein p'riyo, there'll be rain in its proper time, and there'll be produce. V'sig lachem da'ishet batzir v'atzir yasig atzara, essentially overlapping seasons, of planting and of harvesting. V'achaltem lach v'chem la'sova, you will eat your food and be satisfied. V'shavtem l'vatach b'eretzachem, and you'll have a secure presence in the land. This is not military security, this is economic security. And then, v'natati shalom ba'aretz, v'shavtem b'en macharit, I'll give you peace in the land, and you'll be able to sleep without being afraid. V'shpati chaya ra'a min aretz v'cherav lo tavor b'eretzachem. Essentially, I'll save you both from natural disasters and from military attacks. Wild animals won't come through your land, and the sword won't pass through your land. Okay. You will chase your enemies. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And again, repeating that your enemies will fall before you with the sword. This is military success of an astounding nature and reminds us of some of the stories that were told and the jokes that were told after the Six-Day War. One famous long story that ends with one Arab straggling back to his platoon leader and telling him it was an ambush. There were 2 of them. If you know the rest of the story, then you can grin. In any case, I will turn towards you favorably, obviously. I will increase you. I will make you multiply. And in our dive shiur next Monday, we're going to look at this from the context of Purim. And I will fulfill my brit with you. You're going to eat older food. What that means is stored food. And you're going to have to move the old food out because new food will be coming in. We'll have to see why this is here, because we already had the bounty mentioned earlier. So why is it mentioned here again? Venatati mishkani betochachem. And I'll put my mishkan in your midst. V'lo tig'al nafshiyavchem. I won't reject you. V'italachti betochem. I will walk among you. Pretty great. V'natati v'aiti lachem le'elohim. I will be a God for you. V'atem tiyud lidam. And you will be my nation. Ani Adonai. That's a great signature. Ani Adonai lachem. Shotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Now, normally, the next phrase is liyot lachem le'elohim. To be your God. We've already got that. So there's a new wrinkle here, which is Mihiot Lahem Avadim. I redeemed you from Egypt from being their slaves, which is unusual. In fact, it's a unique phrasing. So we have to figure out what it's doing here. And as part of an explanation or explication of that, I have removed slavery from you. I have broken the yoke from your neck, and I have had you walk upright. And that's the end of the bracha. So without going further, I'm not going to go further because if we do the tocha, first of all, I have to read it quietly and very quickly, as is the custom. I want to take a look at this bracha. And I want to start by looking at the opening phrase. Because the opening phrase is strange. How do I know the opening phrase is strange? Because the Sifra tells me. I take a look at the Sifra. And what I've quoted here in source two is actually part of a much longer comment, which Rashi also quotes. Which is, what does Imbechukotai Telechu? If it's referring to keeping mitzvot, if it's referring to not doing lotaseis, those are already covered in the other part of the pasuk. So the Sifra says, Yachol Elo HaMitzvot. I might think that this refers to fulfilling mitzvot. Shomer et mitzvotai tishmeru vasitemotam. And the rest of the pasuk, it says, keep my mitzvot and keep them and guard them. Vare mitzvot amorot. Already says, keep mitzvot. And other Rishonim have taken other directions. Rashi favorably quotes the Sifra. What does it mean? Liot amelim batorah. That you should put sweaty work, hard toil into your study of Torah. Okay, now, I'm not arguing in favor of Pshat here and not whether that is Pshat in the Pasuk, but I'm pointing it out because im b'chukotai telechu is a difficult phrase to understand. And so we're going to take a quick look at the problems with it. As we all know, when we refer to Jewish law, what is the name that we give it in Hebrew? There's one word that we use all the time. What is it?
Halacha.
Halacha. What does halacha literally mean?
It's walking the path.
Walking, right? What is that? It's a strange phrase. Halacha. We're so used to it, we don't think about how strange it is. Mitzvot I would get. There are commandments. All right. I would even understand minhag because it's the custom that we have, the way that we're accustomed to doing things. Or masoret, tradition. We're following tradition. Halacha is an odd phrase. So the verb to walk, lalechet, shows up hundreds of times in Chumash. However, it almost always refers to the physical action of moving from one place to another on your legs. Walking somewhere, right? However, early on, we find it used in a different context. Going back to the first mystical character in Chumash. Now, I'll say this carefully because Adam is a mystical character too. There's a lot of things you don't know about Adam. And Adam lived so long, etc. But he's not described as a mystical character in Tanakh. The first character described in a mystical way is a fellow named Chanoch, who is seventh generation from Adam, following the Sheit line. And Chanoch lives a really, really short life. He's off as a teenager. He's only 365 when he dies. Right, and this is, remember, his kid is Metushelach, who of course sets the records. Vaitalech Chanoch et Elohim. At the end of the little vignette his little genealogical entry, it says Vaitalech, and it says twice Vaitalech Chanoch et Elohim. The second time Vaitalech Chanoch et Elohim, Chanoch walked with God ve'enenu, and he's no longer kilakach oto Elohim. God took him. Now, does that mean that he didn't die? He went up to heaven like Eliyahu. It means he disappeared. It means that he died very young, and we're just saying it in a nice way. We don't know, but he's described as Lehitalech et Elohim, walking with God. Now, we're not picturing a guy who's necessarily taking a long hike with God. The image of Lehitalech et Elohim seems to talk to us about a godly life. We then hear the same phrase when it comes to what might arguably be the first hero in Tanakh, although I wouldn't accept that argument, but you could make the argument, which is Noach. Ela told Noach, when he's introduced, Noach is tzaddik, tamim haya bedorotav, and again, bedorotav flips two ways. The famous Midrash was the only great in his generation relative to the scourge of people that existed at the time. In any case, et ha-Elohim italach Noach, the same exact phrase as used with Chanoch. He walked with God. Now, we have to assume that that, again, doesn't mean that he took a spatzir, he took a little hike, and a la Breslov went out to some forest, or God walked with him. It seems to refer to an uplifting life, a spiritual life, a morally sensitive life, something which means, for the first time, we have the verb halach referring to something other than self, auto transportation by feet, and refers to a way of life. However, that verb gets used in a much more direct way when Hashem addresses Avram, is about to change his name to Avraham, and give him Brit Milah. And when he appears to him, he said, "Vayi Avram ben Tishim v'Tesh Hashana, Avram is 99, Vayira Adonai El Avram, God appears to him, Vayomer Elav Ani El Shaddai, introduces himself, Hitalech Lifanai Vayetamim." It's a little different. First of all, it's not a description, it's a command. It's not that saying Avram walked with God. It's saying God is saying walk, and not walk with me, but walk before me. And what does walk before me mean? And it somewhat echoes Noach, be wholehearted, tamim. But here, Avram is being given this command. Interestingly, no one else ever gets that command. We don't ever hear God giving that command to anybody else. He gives that command to Avram. Hitalech lefanai v'yetamim. But if you think about it, that really does speak to Avram, because what was the first command Hashem did give Avram? It was the first thing God ever said to Avram that we have recorded. Lech lecha. Go. And then when he gets to the land, Hashem says to Avram, Kum hitalech ba'aretz, get and walk through the land. And at the pinnacle of his career, at the Akedah, kach lecha avichav, velech lecha l'eretz ha-Moriah. Avraham's life is filled with walking, actual walking, transportation by feet. He leaves Haran and he walks to Eretz Canaan. He walks halach v'nasoah ha-Negba. Then he goes down to Egypt. Then in Egypt he comes back, and he comes back to the spot that he was, and he and Lot have to separate. And Avram is constantly walking, constantly moving. But also God commands him. Humitalech ba'aretz. And the interesting thing is that when Avram's career is over, meaning at the last scene we see with Avram being active, is when Avraham makes his slave take an oath that he will go to Haran and bring back a wife for Yitzchak from the family. When the slave goes to Haran, remember the story, the slave goes to Haran and the family there wants to feed him. He says, I won't eat until you let me tell my story. They say, okay, daber, speak, tell your story. And he says, Ever Abraham Anochi, and he tells his story. And in it, he tells about the discussion with Abraham when Abraham told him what to do and what he and how he responded. And he said, I told my master, what if she's not willing to come with me? And now, watch his report. This is now the servant quoting Avram. Vayomer Eli. This is what Avram said to me. Adonai, asher italachti lefanav, Hashem, before whom I have walked. Yishlach malacho itach, he'll send an angel with you and he'll help you, etc., etc. So Avram now describes himself, and it's the first time anybody has a self-description this way of walking with or before God. And again, it's before God, just like God commanded him, which means that at least from the moment the Brit Milah was given to Avraham, Avraham is holech lifnei Hashem. He walks before God, in the presence of God. And that's Avraham's life. By the way, that is, again, not mentioned, not as a description, not as a self-statement, not as a command to anybody else, just Avraham. Okay. And the word continues to have its old meaning, its only meaning, its walking meaning, until we get to Sefer Shmot. In Sefer Shmot, Bnei Yisrael are brought out of Mitzrayim. There's a lot of walking there, a lot of holeching there. And Lechel Paro, Moshe is told to go to Paro. And Vayelech Ish mi Beit Levi. There's a lot of walking in Shmot. A lot of walking everywhere. So we got places. Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. Walking just means walking. They cross Yam Suf. Walking means walking. They walk through the Midbar, and walking means walking. And then they get to Midbar Sin, and a month after leaving Mitzrayim, and they complain about hunger. And Hashem says to Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to give them food, and now watch this pasuk. Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, it's source 7. Hinini mamtir lachem lachem min hashamayim. I'm going to give you food from heaven. V'yatza ha'ayam v'latut vayom biyomo. And they will go and collect food every day. Leman anasenu, so that I can test them. Hayelech betorati imlo. Will they walk in my Torah? And this is the first time that those two things are wedded. Not walking before God or walking with God, but walking suddenly being associated with following a set of norms. Living by my rules is called walking. And again, there's no ambulation here. All we're talking about is living a certain kind of life. And interesting, the second mention of this comes not from God and not from Moshe, but comes from Yitro. When Yitro gives Moshe the famous advice about how to teach people the law and the judicial hierarchy that he suggests to him, he then says, V'hizartai tem, you teach those judges, etachukim v'etatorot, tell them all the laws. Which is, by the way, why most of the Rishonim think that Yitro came after Matan Torah. And there's a lot of laws to teach. Now notice how beautifully these two ideas are wed. Show them the path that they may walk on it. And now suddenly halacha takes on a new meaning. It is walking a path, but it's not physically walking a path. It's living a life. And that life is a path. And be going on that path is walking. And suddenly it's becoming clear. But the verb lalechet ceases to mean anything but walking at that point. Until the Israeli part of Vayikra, I know that sounds very odd, the Israeli part of Vayikra, there's not a Lebanese part of Vayikra, I'll explain what I mean. Sefer Vayikra is made up of 3/3, but they're not equal. The first third is the Kohanic part of Vayikra, which is why it gets its name, Leviticus. And that goes really through chapter 17. And that is the Korbanot, and that is the Tum'ah, and that is Tarata Tum'ah, and Shchutei Chutz, etc. Starting in chapter 18, we looked at this a few weeks ago, chapter 18, which is the middle of Achrimot, the shift is now to Bnei Yisrael. And from chapter 18 through chapter 24 is the conclusion of the standard Ohel Moed with the mitzvot given to Bnei Yisrael that affect Bnei Yisrael. There certainly are sections there that are Kohanic, but chiefly to Bnei Yisrael. And here's how it starts. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe l'emor. Daber Bnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem. K'ma'asei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo ta'asu. Do not behave like the Egyptians where you came from. V'chma'asei Eretz Kanan asher anim yivyatchem shema lo ta'asu. Don't behave like the Kananim where you're coming to. U'v'chukotehem. Here it is. Lo telechu. Don't walk in their practices. And suddenly, alechet, associated with a way of life, but it's a way of life we have to not walk in. Don't walk in their way. And then, at mishpatai ta'asu v'et chukotai tishmeru, keep my laws and guard my statutes, lalechet bahem. So God is saying, you can walk in one of two paths. You can walk in the path of Egypt / Canaan, the nation you came from, the nation you're coming to, or you can walk in my path. That's the one you're supposed to walk in. And again, walking here now is not moving your body with your feet. It's living a life. And at the end of Parshat Kedoshim, v'lo telchu b'chukot ha'goy, is a repetition of b'chukotem lo telechu. Don't practice the practices of the Jews, of the non-Jews of the nation. Now, we come to our pasuk, im b'chukotai telechu, And we're immediately hit with something which is very familiar because we're now at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And Vayikra was a book that really appropriated Holech as a way of life and not just as walking. We get the first allusions to it in Bereishit. We get it wedded to a way of life in Shmot. And now we're commanded regarding it in Vayikra. Don't walk in that path, walk in this path. And now the condition is, im b'chukotai telechu, if you indeed walk in that path. And you understand why the rabbis are bothered by the phrase, because the phrase is an unusual one. But then again, given the context of Vayikra, it's almost a natural one. Im b'chukotai telechu, following my laws. However, let's go back and remember that Avraham is the walker in Bereishit. Avraham is the only one who's told, walk before me. Avraham is the only one who says about himself, I have walked before God. Again, a way of life. And on a physical level, Avraham is the great walker of Bereishit. He walks everywhere. He walks from Haran to, first of all, he walks from Ur Kasdim to Haran with his father. Then he walks from Haran to Eretz Canaan. He walks through Eretz Canaan, walks to Egypt, walks back. Then God says, walk the length and the breadth of the land, it's your land. And he walks to Sodom, and he walks towards Sodom, and then he walks to Gerar. He walks everywhere. He's walking, walking, walking. Avram's all Echad, which, of course, is what Avram's life is about. Avram is constantly on the move. So I'd like to suggest, when you take a look at this passage, and that always introduction, that when you take a look at this passage, what we're seeing is Avraham's career, Avraham's life, coming to life at the foot of Har Sinai in the form of the Brit. Let's see it. Im b'chukotai telechu, which is a total Avraham phrase, v'et mitzvotai tishmeru v'asitem otam. And I'll show you that this is just a total Avraham phrase. It's alluding to Avraham. Now, what are the promises? The first promise is of rainfall and agricultural bounty that'll lead to economic security. The next is military security. The next is propagation. The next is another mention of agricultural bounty, and then the Mishkan being among us and us walking with God, and God having us walk upright. What's going on? So if we look through Avram's career, we'll see that, first of all, Avram starts off as walking. He's a walker. We saw that. And throughout his career. But now, when Hashem decides to share with Avram what he's going to do to Sodom, he has the famous line in Source 12. God says, Avraham, Avram's going to be a great nation, big nation. It's all the families of the world will be blessed through him. He's going to command his children. Do you see our opening line there? This is exactly our line. And what does Hashem say about Avram? This is what Avram's going to do. He's going to guard my mitzvot. He's going to command his children, and they will guard the way of Hashem, which is to do righteousness and justice. Right? Now, when Yitzchak wants to go, who gets, by the way, none of this. Yitzchak doesn't get to Lefanai, Halech Lefanai, right? But, and Yitzchak, by the way, if you remember, does not get a Brit. Yaakov does not get a Brit. What Brit do Yitzchak and Yaakov get? Brit Avraham. God makes a Brit with Avraham and then says to Yitzchak, the Brit that I made with Avraham, I'm continuing with you. And Yaakov, I'm continuing with you with an add-on of protection. Avraham is the man of the Brit. Now, when Yitzchak wants to go down to Gerar, and went to go to Egypt, and he gets to Gerar, and God stops him. The beginning of chapter 26, God stops him. God says, don't go down to Egypt. Stay here. I'm going to bless you here. Why am I going to bless you? Ekev asher shama Avraham mikoli, because Avram listened to me, and now take a look. Vayishmor mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai b'torotai. He kept my guard, my commandments, and my laws. It's exactly the same phrase we have in our pasuk. That's what Avram celebrated for. He keeps God's laws. He keeps God's statutes. He keeps God's guarding things. He's loyal to God. And because of that, Yitzchak will be blessed. Now, before going further, I just want to make an observation, which we are all familiar with. I can't speak for everybody here, but I think, knowing most of you, that our lives are materially and in many ways far better than our parents were. We're doing better than our parents were doing. And our parents, I think it's safe to say, sacrificed for us. In many cases, they did without to ensure that we would have. And by the way, we all do the same for our kids, don't we? This principle that the sacrifices of the older generation become the bounty of the next generation is, I believe, the heart and soul of this bracha. When Avram, take a look at source 14, when Avram first comes to the land, what does he encounter? Famine, and he has to leave. So what's the first bracha we're given if we follow, if we're loyal to Avram's path and we follow the mitzvot and walk with God? Rainfall and bounty, and you won't have to leave the land. What's the next thing that happens when Avram comes back to the land? There is a war that comes, and war comes through the land, and Avram has to get involved in the war in order to save Lot. What's the next promise? There won't be war in the land. What's the next thing that happens on Abraham's career? Something that already starts at the beginning of his career is he's married to Sarai, who is barren, to the point where finally he has to, at her push, take Hagar and have a child with Hagar, and then finally has a child with Sarai. So what's the third promise? You're going to have tons of kids. Notice how beautiful this is. If you are loyal to Abraham's path, then all the suffering that Abraham endured, you will be spared from. And the specific things that we read about as deprivations that Abraham had to face with full faith are things that you'll be blessed with. You'll be blessed with children. You'll be blessed with bounty. There won't be a famine in the land. There won't be war. All beautiful. And then we look at what it is that Abraham did. We know that Avram kept his faith that God's promise was going to be fulfilled, even though he didn't have one dunam of land till Sarah died. He didn't have, at seemingly, more than one kid in the house, really, at any point. And even that didn't last. And nonetheless, what did Avram do everywhere he went? Everywhere he went, take a look, he builds a mizbeach as soon as he gets to Eretz Canaan, and he calls out in God's name. After God shows in the land, he walks through the land, he builds a mizbeach in Hebron, calls out in God's name. He then sets up an eshel in Beersheba after he makes a brit with Avimelech and calls out in God's name. He is publicizing God everywhere. Notice, Avram has to go from here to there to publicize God's name, then to there to publicize God's name, and there to publicize God's name. Avram has to be on the road. Have Tanakh will travel. Please take a look at the entire bracha now. We'll see it together. We'll see it together. Im b'chukotai teleichu. Huge allusion to Abraham. That mitzvotai tishmeru va'asitem otam. And you keep my mitzvot and you observe them. First thing, v'natati gishmechem bitam. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you rain in its time. V'na ha'aretz yivula ve'etz ha'sadeh yitain periyot. The land will give its bounty. And the fruit trees will give their fruit. You'll be threshing wheat while you're harvesting grapes, and you'll be harvesting grapes while you're planting the next wheat. There'll be so much stuff, the seasons are going to overlap. Sounds like the end of Amos if you take a look at it. You're going to eat your food and be satisfied. Exactly the opposite of what Avram experienced. Avram didn't have land. Avram couldn't plant. Avram had to be a merchant because he was on the road. He owned sheep. He couldn't be a farmer. And there was a famine in the land. You get the opposite. And then, v'natati shalom ba'aretz. There won't be Kedar la'omer coming through your land. There won't be anybody coming through your land as an enemy. U'shchavtem vein macharid, v'ishpati chaya ra'a min aretz. You won't have any wild animals coming through. The cherev lo tavor ba'aretz lechem. You won't even have armies marching through the land to somewhere else. And then, by the way, now think about it. Where are you chasing your enemies if nobody's coming through the land? The answer is you're expanding the land and you're chasing your enemies there. And your small numbers will chase big numbers and you'll knock them out. And then what happens? I'm going to turn to you I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to increase your size. And this vav is a vav asikum, a vav that now ties it all together. I'm going to make my brit happen. What's that brit? That brit is the land and the children. You got it all. But we're not done. You might make the argument, if we suddenly have all these kids, then all that bounty is not going to be enough. You're promising us lots of food, but now we've got lots of kids. The answer is, you're going to have so much bounty that you're going to have to remove the old stuff because new stuff is coming in. There won't even be room in your storehouses for the stuff. That's how much stuff you're going to have. Don't worry about having all those kids. It's fine. I'll take care of it. And then how does it end? It ends with the real point of the promise. Avram had to go place to place to publicize my name. I'm going to do it differently. I'll make my presence among you. I won't reject you, that you're going to have to go somewhere else and find me. I will walk among you. This goes back to the very beginning of Hashem saying to Avram, Hitalech lefanai, walk before me. And now watch how he ends it. I took you out of Mitzrayim. You were their slaves and I broke that. I destroyed that. That's what I did for you. And therefore, I broke the chains of your, or the yoke of your burden. And I have walked you straight up. I have walked you with an upright position. You're walking mute now, straight up and proud. Notice how the deprivations, the suffering, the austere life that Abraham was forced to live, both in a sense of settlement, in a sense of family, in a sense of security, in every which way, now comes full circle and we're able to realize all those blessings. And we don't have to do what he did. We don't have to have that faith because it's going to happen. What we do have to have is a commitment to follow the path that he blazed. Avram blazed the trail for us, and all we need to do is stay true to that. So where does that come into our piece? Right here. You take a look at in Vayikra, when it talks about walking, Avram walking. Do not behave like the Mitzrayim. What's the first thing that happens when Avram comes toward Mitzrayim? He says to Sarai, the Mitzrayim are different. They're not like us. We got to be different. We got to lie. We got to play games because the Mitzrayim are other people. And what does Avram say at the end of his career to his slave? I don't want Yitzhak to marry a local girl. Be like Avram. Don't imitate the Egyptians. Don't imitate the Canaanim. Don't walk in their path. Rather, I'm giving you mitzvot. Walk in that path. That's the halacha. That's how you should live your life. And now becomes a realization of the great Abrahamic dream that for his descendants now becomes a reality when we're able to maintain loyalty to the path that he blazed for us.
Yes, how does it tie back to Chanoch?
Chanoch is just another example, one of the two examples that we have, of somebody who was, you know, the first mention of halakha as a non-walking, as a spiritual experience. So Chanoch and Noach are described as holech et Elohim. So we first see that notion, but it's not nearly as powerful as Avram, who's commanded by God, hitalech, and it's not iti, but lefanai, which is a more appropriate statement. And Avram himself testifies, halim asher hitalachti lefanav.